Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters. And we're on Groundhog's Day Eve.
That's right.
Groundhog's Eve, right?
So what's supposed to happen tomorrow?
The groundhog's supposed to see his or her shadow.
Yeah, okay.
And or not. And I've never understood the meaning. Like, if he does see the shadow, it's supposed to be six more weeks of winter.
But we always get 6 more weeks.
Well, that's the ridiculousness of it all, is that if you actually count the number of days from Groundhog's Day till the first day of spring, it's about that.
Yeah.
So
I think the groundhog is finally saying, are you kidding me? This is climate change now. We can't even forget me.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's a comment here. So, So in the last half hour, we talked about the bike situation. We talked about the golf course, little kerfuffle and whatnot. But there are some other really substantial things. We still do not have, we have at least in principle now, a city manager search underway. There's even an ad now or an announcement on the website about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a firm in place. To sort of help the city council in making their decisions.
Randy Frank
doing this. And there was even a government operations committee meeting a week ago.
Last Wednesday. Yes, I watched that.
I watched it as well.
One public commenter. So, I mean, a lot of stuff just doesn't,
Normally I would make public comment for anything related to, matters such as city manager searches.
This was just about the process.
Really, it's just sort of laying out a schedule and basically voting, let's go more or less with this schedule. And that seemed kind of about right.
But was it in this meeting, or maybe it was in Alana's podcast with Sumble, that she said that she was surprised how many people don't even know that the city has a city manager there. We need more education.
Well, but on the other hand, you could make the case that, that people know about as much about local government. It's like on a need to know basis.
It's a good point.
So if you were struggling to find a job, if you're struggling to find housing, you probably are trying to find out about city services. You might find out a few other things like that. If you're just sort of living your life and you own a home or you just got here and you're renting an apartment with a bunch of roommates you're worrying more about, writing up your master's or PhD.
That's true. Or getting your iPhone
graduate
fixed.
Program or getting your iPhone fixed. You don't really need to know who the mayor is, right?
Oh, well, that's the thing though. I think most people think, okay, we live in a city, they have a mayor.
Right.
And they don't understand different types of governments, and that we do have an unusual, and then when they go to vote, they realize, oh, wait a minute, this is PR, what does that mean? And then they probably vote wrong anyway, but
But most municipalities around the country actually have managers rather than mayors. But
is that because their size of them?
Well, the size is actually an issue because what makes us a little bit unusual is that it typically happens is the bigger the city, the more there's a pressure, we have to directly elect our mayor, and then any notion about a city manager form of government tends to go away.
But wait, a town manager is different than a city manager, though.
Right, but they're basically doing the same job. It's just that town is not the same as a city, but a manager is still a manager.
Right, but there's no mayor. There's no other person, like in Brooklyn. They don't have another person. Maybe they have a president of the town meeting, but they don't, I don't know.
You can have somebody called a mayor still, it's just a title.
Well, it just seems like bigger cities like Lowell or Worcester and us, we have city managers with mayors.
Yeah, you're right.
But not elected mayors.
Exactly. So I think it's probably would be better if people knew a little bit more about it.
How government works and how policy orders work. And
even when it's time to vote, they would be better if they actually fully understood what voting means. I was like to say, if you really can't stand somebody, don't rank them. For example. But there's still people who will make errors even in how to vote because they don't understand it. But so we have to use the technology of the voting machine itself to reject their ballots and say, think again. But of course, that doesn't work with absentee ballots. So anyway, that's another matter.
Right. Yes.
But anyway, we're actually in a rather unique position, at least in my memory, in that we not only have a city manager who will be leaving the job in early July, but now, as of 2 weeks ago, in addition to the city clerk, who announced last, I believe, September, that he would be leaving at the end of May. That we now, 2 weeks ago, Jim Monagle, who was a city auditor, also announced that he would be leaving at the end of May. And so basically, not only must this city council, there are only three people technically who the city council directly hires, a manager,
and that's them,
a clerk, and an auditor, and they're all up now.
You know, a lot of work, a lot of meetings.
Yeah, I mean, part of me starts to wonder, I say, what is it about this, the political environment that people want to leave so much now?
That's a good point.
You know,
you probably see the writing on the wall. I don't know.
Well, I think maybe in the case of the city manager, there is, I think it's thoroughly wrongheaded, but there is a point of view amongst some people and perhaps some elected officials that we must never hire somebody from Cambridge to run Cambridge. You know, we have to, that the next city manager must be from Iowa or Oakland or somewhere else, or Pluto.
Or do they mean nobody from the... No internal candidates. That's
well, no internal candidates. Yeah, but you know, as was pointed out in previous city manager search processes, you know, there are practical decisions that possible candidates have to make in terms of things like pensionable years.
Right, and, most, and if they don't, right.
Yeah, if a person is actually interested in being a city manager, chances are they didn't just come out of graduate school 6 months ago.
Right.
You know, they've probably been working and they've been developing pensionable years, and those do not transfer interstate. So you typically
would, there's no reciprocal agreements with any state?
I don't believe so. So I believe that what that, and that was pointed out when Bob Healy was leaving and Richie Rossi was coming too, you know, would eventually replace him about that aspect of things. So what it means is that there's still a higher probability that a Massachusetts-based candidate would be, you know.
That's interesting. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one factor. But on the other hand, if you could always sweeten the pot, you know, and said, well, we really want this candidate from the West Coast, so we'll make it worth their while regardless, you know. So who knows? So, and maybe some states actually allow you to sort of get your pension and you don't add on to it, but you basically have a second pension. You start building.
Didn't we have a candidate from North Carolina or South Carolina?
We did. We did. Yeah. So we're not precluding the possibility. Just, to me, it's more a matter of the where the sort of the a lot of the candidate pool may
But may also come up now from. You've got the whole up in the air kind of thing. Like, is this job going to be around? I mean, are we going to go?
Well,
down,
you know, that's city manager? The, good point. The thing is if the word gets around, which I think it ought to, that there may be a will amongst some of this council. I don't think it's a majority yet, but I could be wrong, to basically get rid of this whole Plan E, you know, and not just tweak it around the edges, but basically have directly elected mayors. And, you know, you can't, once you go down the road toward directly elected mayor, if you think you're going to retain a city manager with power, you're going to have a conflict, as I guarantee it. And so then it would be, you know, you wouldn't surprise me at all if in the next round of discussions about charter change, people started wanting to move in that direction.
But, you know, the whole thing about the city manager is that it's supposed to be not political. Because
well, exactly right.
Yeah. And now... Yeah.
But if you are a political beast who thinks that somehow you're going to, you or your organization or your constituency is somehow going to be able to play most of the cards in order to affect, you know, who's going to be having the leadership of the city, you know, maybe those considerations are off, you know, off the table. I think actually one of the biggest arguments that will inevitably be made is that in terms of, you know, fiscal soundness of a city, Cambridge just seems to have done pretty well. Yeah. So the burden of proof now has to be on the ones who want to change it. because if you've got a system that actually has actually led to pretty strong fiscal stability within city government.
But those same people will say it's all because we let development go do anything they want. And that's why.
And they all, some other people will say it's only because of Harvard and MIT, but you know, you know, there are obviously
a little of everything, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly the city manager question is the big question, you know, how that will go. But
there's not much time left when I think about it. I'm it's February 1st and he's leaving July.
The timeline that the chair of the government operations committee laid out and was approved pretty much has a target date to make a selection by mid-May. My birth, right around my birthday. Yeah, exactly.
So is that after community meetings or?
Yeah, they're all sort of, you know, there's a whole schedule. You know,
did you put that on your site? I know it's on the city site.
I do. Yeah. So you there was a whole bunch of staff. It's not staff.
But
A bunch of people who were supposed to be part of these focus groups.
Oh my God. I know. They kept throwing in. Don't have this. You don't have that. I mean, that's crazy.
To me, that's all well and good, but ultimately the screening committee would be the ones who would decide who the finalists are, or the eight who would be gone to the next step. That's where my focus is on, is who's going to try and control that.
Okay.
You know, because if that gets, if somebody hijacks that process so that some good candidates can't even make it past the screening committee, then we have a real problem here. So I'm a little concerned about that. Yeah. And a lot of that is kind of invisible to us mere mortals. So, but they, you know, and I won't go through this point by point by point.
Oh, but it's all on your, very good. It's all on.
You know, this is basically just taken from the government operations committee.
That's a lot of work you did there.
I didn't do this. I had to cut and paste, but just to make it simple.
All right.
Dragged that over many pages. But according to this, they're doing interviews, you know, right on my birthday. And community interviews in like the third week of May, and then an appointment of candidate by late May. Now, keep in mind that simultaneous with that, and I might as well point out here that simultaneous, Jim Monagle was the city auditor. He will be leaving May 31st. And Anthony Wilson, our city clerk, will also be gone May 31st. So, you know, so end of May becomes this gigantic pivotal moment.
I know, but on those positions, Robert, when the last city clerk, when he was appointed, what kind of process? It wasn't this extensive process,
It was maybe not as extensive, but the thing is,
the public even get that involved?
Eventually, there were some public meetings of three finalists.
There were,
and then they got some impressions for that. I believe that's right. I know they had that when they did the last city manager search.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not work on their end. I'm just saying, in terms of public input, I don't think as much for these positions.
Public input. You know, make it sound as though. As though we're going to put it out to the public, and then the public is going to uniformly, fully representative come out.
I know, but the city manager thing is almost the way it's presented.
Right. I did not attend. You may perhaps did attend. It was Cambridge Residents Alliance put together a town hall on the city manager search,
which was all.
For people to ask questions and express themselves.
No internal candidates. That was very popular.
Right. The points of view expressed in there were about as non-representative of Cambridge as you can possibly get.
There were some people.
They represent
that had sound.
Right, they represent that narrow. Narrow group of people in the city. There's a much bigger part of the city there, and you know, and it's also the business community, the universities, property owners, the whole works, you know.
Well, they'll be represented hopefully.
And actually, let's not neglect city employees. I mean, we're choosing their boss, you know.
A meeting about that. She mentioned
I know.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, before all is said and done, there's going to have to be a lot of points of view expressed. But I have witnessed some of these processes before. Even back when Bob Healy was having a contract extended, they wanted to have a whole big community evaluation. And ultimately, it's not, you know, it's squeaky wheels are the ones who typically come out. The people who have an axe to grind, people who feel they have been wrong somewhere along the line are the ones who tend to come out much more disproportionately. You know, so doing this right is not something that happens by just putting it out there. You have to, you actually have to stratify the process a lot in order to sort of guarantee that you get all the appropriate sectors of the city and get at least some sort of anecdotal input, you know. But ultimately, if there are five city councilors who are just dead set, you know, and saying we will never appoint anybody who's from Cambridge or an internal candidate, or we, or they may actually already have decided the candidate must be a woman or must be this or must be that, you know. You know, so there's these other constraints that are being imposed that are kind of out of our public view, you know. So you know, for most of us, we just say just get a damn good manager, you know, but you know, and if you can check all the other boxes, all the better, you know. But you know, we'll see. I think the mayor appointed, it was Councillor Simmons and Toner, to sort of basically ride herd in a separate track on the clerk.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was that mentioned in the meeting?
It was a communication from the mayor as part of this council agenda materials. Presumably, there will soon be a couple people maybe charged with trying to ride herd on the city auditor question. You know, one of the things I think is at least worth considering, I mean, you don't have to change anything, but, you know, if when the planning charter was drafted, you know, in the legislature back in 1930s, there was a notion of you were moving toward a manager form of government because, you know, political patronage was running rampant. There were, there was a lot of mismanagement. There were tax bills were going through the roof. It was, you know, there was a real pressing need for it. Back then, you didn't have all the computers and whatever. You could easily have had a manager who then mismanaged. So they created the city auditor position. There was always something like that anyway.
So what does the city auditor do?
Well, you know, the city auditor audits, you know, but one would argue these days, you know, with, you know, management software and personnel in place, is that that role is not what it would have been once upon a time. But if it is a city, if it is a city council appointment, and as long as you're not going against the architecture of the charter, there may be some modifications of the job description for
But I'm going to say something. I recently learned about auditing from some other source that a lot of companies or nonprofits will hire an outside auditor because they want to be really transparent. So how is hiring someone as your own employee transparent? I mean, isn't the auditor's job to really make sure everything checks out?
Well, I mean, that's why the auditor is at least technically accountable, not to the city manager, but to the city council, you see?
Oh, that's so interesting.
So in a sense, the idea was that it would be the council's audit of...
It's kind of like a review of how things are going, only on a more nitty-gritty, like looking at the...
But in many respects, the city auditor position has basically become kind of absorbed into the city's finance department. So it's not really sort of separate from it. Now, I think that's actually worked out very well, you know, and Jim Onigal was great in his position, you know, but, you know, this is a, this is at least one of those points, a decision point where elected officials should at least think about the job descriptions, you know.
What kind of report gets generated from the city?
You know, I don't actually
know. What's the interaction there? I mean,
if you go back to city council records from the 1930s, even before Plan E, you'll see the report of the city auditor.
You know, I think there would be every year you'd see.
If there was some sort of funny business going on and about books weren't getting balanced and somebody was basically siphoning off lots and lots of money or something, the auditor's job would be to find that out and report it to the council. you know, but
or that's maybe just, not to re, maybe they try to deal with it before it gets to
yeah,
the
but
council.
You know, but we're in an era now of chapter 30B procurement laws and whatever, where there's a lot of restrictions as to how city council, not city council, but how the city can even issue contracts.
So much
of the accountability is kind of forced by law now anyway, that was not necessarily the case back in the 1930s or early 40s. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all I'm saying is that there may be some latitude here for at least thinking about this. You know, I mean, there's obviously certain roles that the city clerk does, you know, as a sort of the keeper of public records.
Who is the city clerk responsible to?
City council. Right, that's the point. It's the manager, the clerk, and the auditor are they report to the city council. That's it. Now, of course, they also talk to the city manager every day and you know, work it all out. But you know, ultimately, those are the people that they hire and they're responsible for.
I was just going to say, and they also have offices. But then I just realized I think our city councilors are getting offices, right?
Yeah, there's a plan now to actually sort of give them all. I don't think they're getting big, luxurious, you know.
Offices, but they're getting space. I guess their aides already have some space, so maybe they share.
Yeah, they did that. I mean, you know, historically, the city council office. I mean, rarely was it the case, except when there was a council meeting going on, that you would have more than a couple of councilors in the building at any given time.
They're supposed to be doing their other full-time jobs, I think.
Well, that's what they should be doing. You know, and I strongly believe that is that the notion of a full-time counselor is absurd. You know, I mean, it's one if something if you want to do it because you're you know you've already worked many years and now you want to kick back.
Don't need a lot of money. Money with benefits. Pretty good.
But you know, so I've never really believed that they need. I mean, they needed some room where they could meet people, but they didn't necessarily, that didn't have to be private offices or anything like that.
Yeah, but now they didn't have aides either before. So now we have personal aides. And
right, but of course, you know, they'll never give up the perk, but I've always felt that the aides should be assigned to the committees.
I know, it's our sore point. They should transcend
the individual elected counselors. And, you know, so if you have a person who's really, really adept at working with, you know, the ordinance committee, maybe somebody with some legal background or whatever, you know, kind of helping through that, you know, all the better, you know. But, you know, that's me, you know. But, you know, this is the moment where those questions should at least be asked. How do you want to, I mean, listen, if they wanted to change, if they're already going to be talking about changing the charter, they should at least be open to the possibility of modifying the job descriptions of things like city council staff, you know, city auditor, city clerk, city manager.
Which is actually, that's supposed to happen simultaneously with these other three positions, right?
We'll see. I'm not sure this is a group that can do two ball juggling, let alone five ball juggling.
And they haven't resolved the whole boards and commissions stuff.
That's right. And by the way, I think the first test cases of some of these city council, review of a board appointments may be coming up soon.
Oh, yeah.
I know that it wasn't that long ago that there was a call for people who wanted to serve on some of the neighborhood conservation districts commissions.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of those appointments have been made lately, but if they are.
That's a big top. Wasn't there a meeting?
There's at least one.
Having neighborhood conservation.
There's at least one, you know, political insider group who would want to have some control over that, which I think is horrible.
Or they want to get rid of them. I don't think
they want to just get rid of them, you know, and then they would use the review process as a point of departure in order to make the case why we shouldn't have neighborhood conservation districts or some such thing. But I think they just extended the due date for applications for being on the Board of Zoning Appeals. Now, that would be another one of those hot ones, you know.
Oh, that's a hot one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if the Board of Zoning Appeal in principle is really not supposed to make new law or thoroughly violate zoning, what they are is supposed to manage the exceptional cases.
Yeah.
But there was at least one prominent case over this past year where one property developer was asking to go way past zoning restrictions. And they said, well, you've gone beyond the point of tweaking the edges now. And this is not just a simple matter of granting, you know, a variance when you're basically blowing the zoning rules out of the water.
So what happened?
But there were some people who said, well, they should have just granted it anyway, because don't you know there's a housing crisis? And I think, well, you know, so yeah. So would you have that group basically arguing that any board appointment must be ready and willing to blow the zoning code right out of the water?
Was this for any kind of property, or was this for luxury housing, or didn't it matter?
Well, this was the one up on Mass Ave in Walden. You know,
exactly.
Oh, very, very controversial. Well,
that's controversial for lots of reasons, though.
Right. You know, but honestly, if the council really wants to have a different zoning, they should be changing zoning, but not always asking the Board of Zoning Appeal to just not do their job. You know,
yeah, it's true.
So that's why I figured that appointment, which they've extended for, yesterday was supposed to be the deadline.
Maybe they're not getting the candidates.
Well, you know, honestly, I wouldn't apply. Honestly, if I was going to have to basically go in front of a tribunal, you know.
Well, what are the qualifications? That must be listed there, right?
I mean, yeah, there are recommended, you know, familiarity with some of the zoning laws and whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, it's very, very possible that the politics is saying we're waiting for a candidate who's basically willing to grant variances for anything that the council wants and to deny them for anything they don't want.
Who's they?
Well, I mean, you know, there's the Better Cambridge group, honestly.
Right, but they're who ultimately picks and transfers these names? It's
You apply to the city manager, but the thing is ultimately,
so maybe
they
haven't gotten anybody that's qualified yet.
That's possible. Or somebody who just doesn't want to do the headache. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're winding down here. So
that test case is coming up soon.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We'll see.
Is there a roundtable next week? It's not a regular.
There is a regular meeting, and the following day there's also a roundtable with the school committee to talk about the upcoming year's budget. Yeah.
Right. So, anyway. Okay.
So anyway, we're just about out. So
yeah, we'll see you third Tuesday.
See you in a couple of weeks. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Bye.